Now, you see, the word 19 is 12 and 7. The Lord gave this to me earlier on in the last quarter of last year. I'm sure I mentioned it in church. You know, 12 is God's number for government, and 7 is God's number for completion, because the heaven and the earth were completed in 7 days. 12 is the number of apostles. You know, it's symbolic of God's government. 2018, everybody can testify, was truly a year of new beginnings. How many people saw that? New upgrade. If you were upgraded, give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. In 2018, we were all upgraded. We were all we all had new beginnings, new concepts. We had new births, you know, both physical, you know, as well as, more importantly, spiritual. God birthed new things in us. But those things that were birthed in 2018 will be completed in 2019 and taken beyond. So we're not stopping in 2019, we're going beyond. So we say everything we now say 2019 and beyond. Everybody say 2019 and beyond. I didn't hear you. Hallelujah. The Lord said I should tell you. You know, the Bible says that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Your greatest days are still ahead of you. Amen. So 2019 is good. 2018, we thank God for all the great things God did. I can testify in my own personal life. I mean, you've heard my testimony, you know, my wife and I, you know, all the great things God did in our lives, in our family, giving us a new grandson, you know, my son graduating, same thing with Moyolua, you know, And you know, my PhD and all of that. But I want you to know something. That's just for me personally. But that's true for all of us at different levels. But I want you to know something. Your greatest days are still ahead of you. 2018 was good, but 2019 is going to be even more glorious. I didn't hear you. Hallelujah. It's going to be even more glorious. The day of the glory of the church is upon us. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. And so, this 2019... it's going to be a year of completion and government, birthing of this completion and government in your life. Now, it's going to be at three levels. There's going to be the completion of God's government in your individual life. This scripture, you've already been experiencing, but you're going to experience it in a far greater dimension with greater glory, that as you seek first the kingdom, government, kingdom, they mean the same thing. You know, government just means, you know, dominion of the king. You know, you are going to see in your life a greater manifestation of this truth. As you seek first the kingdom, all other things will be added unto you. In 2019, you've seen some blessings in 2018, but you haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. Greater blessings are going to come, because you're going to be completing God's government. You're going to be allowing the total completion of God's dominion in your life. And as you do that, you're going to be seeing all other things added, even the ones you didn't pray for. Hallelujah. And it's going to be in every area of your life. In every area, it's going to be spiritual, it's going to be mental and intellectual, it's going to be physical, your health, your healing, it's going to be, you know, social, you know, marriages and things like that. All kinds of things, God is going to be adding them to you. And you know what? They're going to be custom made. I don't know if you know what is custom made. Have you seen a custom made car before? It's not the one that everybody just buys. You know, you have to go and tell them the specifications. You say, I want leather seats. I want I have a custom midwife here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, that's really true. You know, I'm not going to divert into that. You know, but as a young man, you know, in my 20s, you know, came to a point in my life, God said, don't look at that anymore. Stop looking at girls. Stop looking at this. Just go and pray. So I prayed for a year. It's true. 1 hour every week in tongues and groanings and travail. I did not know I was creating a... it was custom made, though. I said, I want her to be like Gloria Copeland. I don't want her to be a yes woman. I don't want her to be, you know, just she knows God herself, and she can tell me when I do something wrong. And you know, I got exactly what I prayed for. Yeah. Hallelujah. I can tell you from personal experience that if you... will put, and the way I did it, I, yet not I, but the grace and the mercy of God which was with me at the time, you know, was this same power of the Holy Spirit. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you enforce it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I didn't even know all the details. I didn't know the person. I couldn't see anything. You know, but God was working, you know, in ways I could not see. He was working in the background in her life, you know, brought her to Ibadan, brought her to UI, just put her by my, just presented it, you know, and put her in the charge of my very good friend, Pastor Fred. So it was custom and he just delivered it to me. Praise the Lord. It will be the same for you in Jesus' name. Complete God's government in your life. Enforce the kingdom. So that's on the individual level in every area of your life, the dominion of God. And you will find that the other things, you see, things like wife, husband, money, job, career, they are things. Seek kingdom.
Amen.
And in 2019, the things that have not yet been added will be added.
Amen.
The ones that have been added will be added more.
Amen.
Number two, there's going to be a completion of God's government in the church. We've been talking about it for years. The changing of the government from Saul to David. We're going to see it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the glory of God is coming. Amen. The new birth, the new beginnings of 2018 will be completed in 2019. That's why 2019 is a year of completion. We started in 2019. We've seen them in 2018. We've seen the dominion of God. We've seen the glory of God to quite a great degree that I haven't even seen in my life before in this 2018. You know, things that were difficult, impossible, God's began to shift things around and all of that. But we're going to see the completion of the government of God in the church. The movement from the kingdom of Saul, so to speak, we're using typologies now, to the kingdom of David. David represents a leadership that is seeking God's heart. Saul represents the present leadership that we have, you know, that is only seeking God for position and the pride of life and all of that. All that is going to change. Amen. Now, the third area of government, completion of government, will be in our nation. We're looking into 2019 for new elections, and it's going to come. I don't know, I'm not going to give you any detail or say this person or that person. Mm-mm. But what I do know is that the government of God in Nigeria will be completed. And we're going to begin to see in Nigeria the fulfillment of Psalm 144. Hallelujah. You know, where our there will be no complaining in our streets. Can you believe that? It's very difficult to believe. If you look at the amount of complaining that there is now, the amount of hunger and poverty and all kinds of things in the nation, but God will change it around. The solution is not in Abuja. The solution is in the kingdom. The completion of God's government in the church will spill over into the nation. And God's kingdom will come and His will be done in Nigeria as it is in heaven. And people say, if it can happen in Nigeria, it can happen anywhere. Glory be to God. And so that is what 2019 is holding for us. Hallelujah. Now, I want to move forward. Why this New Year's message I'm giving you is a message of preparation. See, one of the aspects of the prophetic ministry. In fact, actually, it's the main aspect. It's just that most people have misunderstood the prophetic ministry, you know, in its operation. Most people think of a prophet as somebody who just come to prophesy to you about some specific things that are going to happen in your life in the future. So they tell you, oh, next year you're going to marry this person, or in 2 years' time you're going to get this job, or in 5 years' time you're going to do this. That's a very tiny part of the prophetic ministry. It's part of it. I don't take away from it. But really, the true, let me use the word complete. The completeness of the prophetic ministry is that which prophesies, preaches, and teaches. And the preaching and teaching are much more even important than the prophesying, you know, of God's purpose for the church in the immediate future, so that the people of God, by believing those prophets and listening to what they have preached and taught, can do what they have said, so that they will prosper in those purposes. And that is why they're typified by the sons of Issachar, which is they had understanding of the times. See, the prophet understands the times and seasons of God's purposes. Then he prepares, through that understanding, preaching and teaching, he now prepares God's people for those times and seasons, those purposes, so that they can prosper in those purposes. That's why God said, believe his prophets, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. He's not just talking about money and prosperity, which it includes that, but it's much bigger than money and material prosperity. Its purpose is prospering in the purposes of God. You know, I was sharing with somebody, you know, recently, and I was telling them, I think I even said it here in church, but let me just say it again, particularly for the benefit of the younger people, but it's for all of us. You see, in this move that is coming, age is not a limit. Everybody is included. Glory be to God. From the little children right on to the young men. You know, Enoch 65, Abraham 75, Moses 80. You know, so there is no limit to where you can start with God. Some of these people didn't start. They started, you know, these examples like Enoch, you know, and Abraham and all that. They started late. You know, they didn't get to know God until later, you know, and start walking with him properly. But they still were able to fulfill their purpose. Moses, 80. Everything we know about Moses that makes Moses Moses is between 80 and 120. Had Moses died at 79, you wouldn't know who Moses is. Can you believe that? You know, so, you know, there is no limit to the things that God is going to do. Now, for the benefit of all of us, you know, both the young and the old, what you need to understand is this, which has really eluded the church, you know, in many ways down through the years, because we've been so, there's something in the world they call micromanaging. We've been so myopic. We just deal with all the little things and we don't see the big picture. And when you want to fulfill the purpose of God, you have to see the big picture. You see, I was sharing with somebody, you know, and I said here in church. See, for example, let me use my own life as an example, you know, just to give you an example so that you will be able to appreciate and then you can apply it to your own life. You know, as a young man, I got saved. I got saved when I was 20. It would be 40 years in 2019 when I got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I was doing engineering and physics and all of that. You know, then God called me very, very supernaturally, you know, and gave me a commission to teach, you know, to come and preach and teach, you know, for the perfecting. Give me even the scripture, Ephesians 4:12. This is before I knew anybody, you know, and I came to Nigeria and I did it. But to the I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. But the important thing is this. For years, I was doing the will of God and all of that with my wife being a great helpmate and assisting me, you know, and all of you and many of my pastors, you know, and we all worked as a team. And we're still doing it and we still have greater things ahead of us. However, recently now, you know, a few years later, you know, God said, go and pick your PhD up again. And so I did, you know, and I got the PhD this last year. And then he even gave me a revelation of a certain aspect that's so important. I didn't even know how important it was until recently. You know, I got a patent on it, you know, and I'm now working, doing the lab work on it and getting it, the practical aspect of it. And I've been given some contacts now to see how I can commercialize it. Now, that's the same thing I would have wanted to do 40 years ago. But what I've got now is far better. Because kingdom came first. You see, I wasn't called just to be a physicist or to be an electrical engineer. I was called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. As I now began to grow spiritually into the image of Jesus, I got three very important things. One, wisdom. Two, character. Three, power. It is that wisdom, character, and power that has now enabled me to be able to now begin to fulfill the aspect of the physics and the engineering that I'm doing now. And I'm not done yet. You're going to hear about it. Better take a picture with me now. But when the time comes, I used to know that guy. He used to be my pastor. I'll just do like this. I don't know. I won't do that. Praise the Lord. I'm serious. You know, I said that jokingly, but seriously. You know, the greater days are still ahead. But you see, what is bringing those things is not because I took time and I studied alone. I did study, you know, and all of that. No! Young people and every other person here, don't make that mistake. Don't put the natural above the spiritual. It's not going to take you 40 years like me, because we've caught a lot of slack. Amen? We were pioneers. We didn't have people who were moving in this direction. You know, we had great teachers and all of that. But some of this understanding, seeing this holistic big picture, was not something that was seen 40 years ago. But we're seeing it now, not because we're better and smarter than them, but because the Bible says the path of the righteous shines more and more unto the perfect day. So we have the privilege and the blessing of having more light now than our fathers had 40 years ago. So I'm talking about spiritual fathers. So now we have better understanding. It's clear to me now. Seek first the kingdom. Young people, elderly people, middle age, whatever. You know, be like, if you are, you may be like Enoch, 65. Start, you know, change. Start seeking the kingdom. Say, and Enoch walked with God. It means before 65, he wasn't walking with God. Abraham was a moon worshiper. He was an idol worshiper until 75. Then he started walking with God. Moses was a prince of Egypt until 80 before he started walking with God. It's never too late. So at whatever level you are, start walking with God. Start and seek first the kingdom. I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. And before we close, you know, seek the kingdom first. It means prioritize the kingdom of God. Many Christians don't. It is a sad commentary, but it is true. Majority of the Christians are seeking God for things. They don't come to church seeking for the kingdom. They're coming to seek God. The one that is seeking wife is seeking wife. The one that is seeking husband is seeking husband. The one that is seeking Abuja is seeking Abuja. Where did that come from? Amen. Because you know, when you go to Abuja, you see God. In quotes. But that God is an idol. That God is a molten calf. It's not the real God. It's idolatry. Those that are seeking, yeah. Most Christians come to church, they are seeking for things. They're not seeking the kingdom. It's not kingdom. We need a complete paradigm shift. A complete shift in our thinking. I know many of you have heard these things over and over the years, but ask yourself honestly tonight, as we're going to pray, you know, let me be honest. Let me look at 2018, 2017. Say, did I seek the kingdom first? Or was the most important thing in my mind things? It's a very important question. And be honest. And when you're honest, you're going to receive mercy. And that mercy will change you so that you can do it properly in 2019. Amen. Seek first the kingdom. It didn't say seek only. It said seek it first. He said, if you seek it first, what it will give you are those three things I mentioned. It will give you wisdom. I said, wisdom. Then it will give you character. It will say character. Then number three, it will give you power. That's what helped me. Without those wisdom, character, and power, I would not have had the influence and the power to get this PhD. It wouldn't have been possible. It was the wisdom of God that I had, that had come to me by the grace and the mercy of God. The character. There was a lot of provocations that happened to me when I was doing this PhD. You know, because the person who supervised me used to be my student. Can you believe that? I taught him. At the time I taught him, I didn't even know who he was. He was the one who came to me and said, Pastor, you taught me. Not only that, a lot of the people in lectures were there. Well, all my students. And I had to go and say sir to them. Now, of course, my supervisor is very nice, very lovely guy, you know, and all that. And many of them, they were all very nice to me. They're all very respectful to me and all that. But I still had to humble myself. I still had to take the lower position, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got it. It just wouldn't have happened. Even apart from that, there were also other kinds of obstacles that came. This happened. You know, I had to learn to cool down. I said, if I hadn't developed spiritually, I wouldn't have done it. And then influence, power, you know, favor with men, knowing this person and this being in the right place at the right time. All of that is going to be necessary for you to fulfill your destiny. See, that thing you are looking for, if you don't have that wisdom in sufficient measure, if you don't have that character in sufficient measure, if you don't have that power or influence in sufficient measure, it will elude you. It will not elude you in Jesus' name. I know we always don't like me to say it. But I tell you the truth. You will. If you don't, that's why seek the kingdom first. It is the wisdom you're going to get from the kingdom. It's going to be the character you get from the kingdom. It's going to be the power you get from the wisdom that will now enable you to get, watch this, it just came by the Spirit, and keep the things you are looking for. Because you can even get the thing and lose it. For it is only strong men that retain riches. Particularly in this day we are living in. There's so much out there that is disturbing us. And if you don't have the wisdom of God, the character of God, if a character is so important, love, it's character, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, there's just some things you won't be able to handle. Particularly in this day of abounding iniquity. Men shall be fierce, incontinent, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The things that the spiritual forces that are being unleashed against this generation are far greater than what we experienced 40 years ago. The kind of temptations even the young people are facing, the kind of exposures they're exposed to. You know, when even the music is a disaster. I'm telling you the truth. Because they don't understand. They'll just be saying, don't let me sing it. You know, and all the stupid things that they don't realize the spiritual forces. Because every time you are singing that thing, every time you are saying that thing, every time you are humming that thing in your heart, you are releasing those forces into your life. And you think you're just enjoying music, but you are releasing demonic forces that are controlling your circumstances and making you to be what the devil wants you to become rather than to become what God wants you to become. Stop it. There's a lot of good music in God. There's rap, there's gospel rap. If with whatever you want, you can find the gospel equivalent. Look for the gospel equivalent and say that and think that and hum that. Stop humming the one of the world. You are not worldly. You are of God, little children. And I've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Live like it. Stop living in the world. Don't allow the things of the world, the thinking of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life to control and direct your life and your ambitions. Seek the kingdom first. And all these other things, the things, they will be added. It's a guarantee. And that's why I give you the testimony of my own life. And I'm not done yet. I'm far from it. I still have some years ahead. You're going to see what's going to happen to the glory of God. Because I now understand the path that God has taken me through. You know, as an example, you know, and so that others, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I say humbly, following the example of the apostle, follow me as I follow Christ. It took us a longer time because we're pioneers, but you're going to think, you know, what we did in watch this. This is another great word for you that's going to bless you tremendously. What took us 40 years to do, you can do in 7. Amen. 7. Because it's not God's number of completion. If you start this thing and you do it properly, do you understand? Because there's much more mercy and grace now than was available to us. You understand? What took us 40 years to do? 7, 10 years, you're done. Amen. But you're not going to stop there, praise the Lord. But what I mean is that a lot of things will have manifested. In a short time, a quick work. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, sin is a waste of time. I don't have time. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. It's a waste of time. I'm telling you, it's just an unnecessary distraction. What should take you 40? What should take the 10-day journey from Ramses, from Egypt to the promised land was an 11-day journey. It took 40 years agony because they got distracted by sin. Don't let that happen to you. Now, having said all of that, the glory is coming. Everybody say, shout it, the glory is coming. And when the glory comes, it's going to cause... I preached this message early on in the year. You need to go and review it. I'm not going to go into detail right now. It's bringing... The glory is also symbolized by fire. That fire will bring initially division. And this is a great thing that we're going to see in 2019. You know, the fire of the glory of God will be made manifest in the church. And it's going to bring division. Division between the house of Saul and the house of David. It's going to bring division. Watch this. It's going to bring division between the wise virgin and the foolish virgins. They're all virgins. They're all children of God. They're all in the kingdom. Jesus gave him the parable. He said, then shall the kingdom be likened unto. It's the kingdom of God. It's God. It's his church. But in the church, you're going to have two basic groups. Even in those groups, there's small subgroups, but I don't want to go into all of that. But two big, they're going to be the foolish. What's foolish? No wisdom. These are Christians, but they do not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I give an example. I shared this recently. I'll just use it as an example. Look at Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin's gone home with the Lord now. Kenneth Hagin was a pastor for 14 years. He didn't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. By his own testimony, he was a good pastor, in quotes. He was a good pastor. He preached. He had word of knowledge. He had healing. He had miracles in his ministry. People got healed under his ministry. People got delivered. But you say, you can have gifts and not have wisdom. You can have supernatural miracles and power and not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I've been in ministry for 40 years now. It'll be 40 years next year. You know, because the same year I got born again was when I was called. You know, 79 to 1980. You know, and I've been around. I've seen. I've been very close to ministers. You know, I've been in England, America, here in Nigeria. God just privileged me to be in very strategic places, and I've seen the evolution. The word evolution just means change. I've seen the evolution of ministry. I can see people who have big ministries. Miracles, power, but no wisdom or revelation. Just like Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was led supernaturally by the Holy Spirit because of his heart. Because he had an honest heart. You know, in the summer, in 1949, just after World War II, and God told him, he said, a revival of divine healing is coming to the church, and I want to be a part of it. He said, now, you know, start seeking me. So he started praying from Ephesians chapter 1. Daily. And this path that I'm telling you has been the path from the time of Jesus. It was passed, listen to me, it was passed from the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. Jesus is the pattern son. The Apostle Paul is the pattern disciple. Anybody who wants to get that same ministry Jesus and Paul had must go the same path. There are no two ways. It's only one way. You guess what Paul said? He said, the gospel I preach. He said, it is not after man. He said, I got it by what? Revelation. You want to be a true minister, it has to be by revelation. It cannot be by seeing what another person does, copying it, trying to use publicity, buy big program, you know, get the crowd. You can do all of that and not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's tied with Jesus. Watch the book of Revelation. He said the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's not just means a revelation about Jesus. It's the revelation that was given to Jesus that Jesus shared with John. That we now wrote in the book of Revelation. The revelation. He had a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul, the same thing. And Paul now wrote it down in Ephesians, Colossians, and all the other Pauline epistles, how to pray. So Kenneth Hagin now copied that example. God give me, Kenneth Hagin, a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of you. And he prayed morning, afternoon, and night. Morning, afternoon, and night. He prayed for 6 months. He says, after 6 months, he began to get. Then he asked himself, what have I been preaching for 14 years? A lot of us, and those who are watching on YouTube or television now, many pastors are just like that still today. You know you're preaching, I know you're doing, but you don't have spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's the difference between the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. And what's going to happen is that the fire will now cause the division. The wise virgins will be on one side, the foolish virgins will be on one side, and then envy will come. It's going to happen in 2019. It's God's going to be a year of completion of government. Because God's going to complete the government and move it from Saul to David. And what's going to happen is this. When the fire comes, the fire does two things. For the wise, the fire is going to refine them. Malachi chapter 3. You know, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. You know, he shall be like a refining fire. He's going to refine them and they're going to get a reward. That reward is going to be the manifestation of the glory of God. The foolish virgins, the fire is going to burn their works. The wood, hay, and the stubble. And they're going to suffer loss. It doesn't mean they're going to hell. But it just means that they will suffer loss. And then because these guys will have reward of glory, these ones will suffer loss. These ones now will be angry with these ones. Then there will be fight. Not physical fight, but the Bible says, you know, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. We're going to see this. You see, when Jesus came the first time and manifested his glory in Cana of Galilee, then from there he moved to Nazareth and preached one of his first messages. He preached from Isaiah 61. I'm not going to go there tonight, but I'm just going to hit it running. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he's anointed me to preach the gospel and all of that and all of that. Heal the brokenhearted, you know. And then he stopped in between the verse. He did not get to the vengeance of our God. He preached it up to that point. You see it in Luke chapter 4, I think. You know, and Isaiah 61. And he didn't. But in our own time now, the glory is going to come with the vengeance. When the glory came on Jesus, it did not come with the vengeance. Because it was not that day. But we are now in this day. That is why it is 2019. 2019 is 2000 plus 19. The 2000 is symbolic of the third day. The third millennium from the birth of Christ. You know, which is the day of perfection. So from 2000 we've been in the third day. We are now in 19. 19 is 12 plus 7. So we are now in the third day. And with the completion of the government of God. So the vengeance is coming. Hallelujah. There's going to be vengeance. It's the vengeance. It's not my vengeance. It's God's vengeance upon those who have watched this. My wife was even talking about this recently. You know, about the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people know Jesus is gentle? No one is okay at that. Is Jesus not gentle? Hello? Is Jesus not meek? Is he just not kind? But what did he do to those who are selling doves? He whipped them. Generally, dearly beloved, if you saw Jesus that day and you do not have a revelation of who he is, like Peter and the others, you will come to a very wrong conclusion. That is this the man they call the Son of God? He brought whip. He didn't only do that. They lost their money. He kicked the table. And all the money on the table fell onto the ground. It's not like today where they have cement. All money was just in the dust and all that. I don't know how many people lost their money that day. Amen. He whipped them. He said, take these things out of my Father's house. For you have made it. And the same thing is true today. You have made it a den of thieves. It should be a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. And that same vengeance is coming back to the church. The fire that is coming is going to overturn the tables of the money changers and those that are selling doves. And that fire, God is going to use it to whip them out of the church. Not a physical whipping, it's going to be spiritual. The good news is that they can repent. Hence this prophetic message. See, that's why God, that's the purpose of the prophet. The times and seasons, what Israel ought to do. So if somebody hears this message now and he's a money changer and says, I'm not going to be a money changer anymore, when that time comes, he will prosper. That's the reason. That's the mercy of God in operation. God, he loves us. So he tells us ahead of time so that you can change. We need to get this rubbish out of the church. And the God is going to do it himself. The glory of God, the fire of God's vengeance is going to come to the church. And is going to cause this separation. The wise virgins will be rewarded and refined by the fire with the glory of God. The foolish virgins will, their works will be burnt up. The Bible says the day that the fire will come on that day, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, and it will make a difference in every man's work of what sort it is. Those who have done it something will get a reward. Those who have not will suffer loss. It doesn't mean they will go to hell, but they will suffer loss of reward and destiny. And it is not my prayer that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Now, having said all of that, how do we prepare ourselves? Before I go into these instructions, it'll take us another few minutes before I close. You know, before I go into these instructions, and these instructions, they're things we've heard through 2018, because it's actually started. 2018 was new beginnings. 8 is new beginnings. 2019 is completion of those new beginnings. Birth. We've had births in 2018, but it'll now be fully completed in 2019. Now, watch this. The first thing I've been emphasizing is I even did on Christmas Day and some weeks before this time. I preached quite a number of messages along all these lines. These commandments are not grievous, you know, giving all diligence. But the underlying thing in everything here is that it is by grace through faith. Everybody shout it. Let's correct that. Say, by grace and mercy, through faith. You know what the Bible says? It says that you should come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Everybody say, mercy and grace. And then turn to your neighbor and say, it's not grace and mercy. Say, it's mercy and grace. That's talking about order. You see, you need the mercy of God first before the grace of God can walk through you. Because it is by mercy you are not consumed. If you're already consumed, grace has nothing to work with. It is because of the mercy does 4 things in your life. Number 1, it causes you not to be consumed. Number 2, it causes you not to faint. He says, because we have received mercy, we faint not. How many people know that people faint? Faint is because you become discouraged. Because of the volume of the challenges and this thing. You lose heart. Remember David at Ziklag. David came back with his men. And the Amalekites, which is a type of the flesh, had taken away the children, the wives and everything. Carried everything away. All that. They thought they were killed. They thought they had lost everything. The Bible said they wept until they could cry no more. Everybody was discouraged. But because of David's honest heart, the mercy of God came. And he didn't faint. It says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he now went to see God and said, shall I pursue? God said, pursue and you overtake and you recover all. It took the grace helped him, but it was the mercy that caused him not to be discouraged. So you need mercy so that you will not be discouraged. Then you need mercy so that you'll be faithful or consistent. Then you need mercy to triumph always, because it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that sheweth mercy. So all these instructions I'm going to give you now, they are all going to operate by mercy and grace through faith. Faith involves 3 major things. Number 1, saying God's word, like God said it in the beginning, like Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to it, and the fig tree withered in 24 hours. And they said, Jesus said, chill. You can do the same thing. Have the faith of God. If you say to the mountain, be removed, and you don't doubt in your heart, you believe the things which you say, you will have what you say. So faith involves saying, because words release spiritual power. Number 2, faith involves believing, which is seeing the invisible. That's to say, I believe in his heart. Then number 3, faith involves action. practice. You must start now practicing. You start now doing what you have said and what you have believed. As you do that, mercy and grace through that faith, mercy will now release life and power. Mercy and grace that release life and power is sufficient measure. So that the things you have said and the things that you are seeing, that you are believing, and that you are acting upon, the power of God and the life of God is sufficient measure. Everybody shout sufficient measure. I did not hear you. I didn't hear you. That's why I said my grace is sufficient. You see, without grace, you can get life and power, but it may not be sufficient. That's why it's not gra-gra. Gra-gra in our language means it's not human effort. It's not, you know, you can confess, you can speak, you can pray in tongues. If there is not sufficient measure, it won't work. Let me correct that. It will just not be as effective as it could be. Remember this scripture I've used it to teach over the years. It says the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It shows that there are four levels or three levels. There are prayers that avail zero. Hello? Then there are prayers that avail little, which is the category many of our prayers fall into. So it's not that it doesn't avail. It avails, but it avails a little, but it doesn't avail sufficient. Then there are prayers that avail much. What makes a difference? Grace and mercy. And how does grace and mercy operate? Through the heart. That is why you must keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? Keep honesty, keep humility. Because even if you have knowledge, you have knowledge of prayer, you have knowledge of confession, you have knowledge of intercession, you have knowledge of that. If the grace level drops, the measure of life will not be sufficient. So all the praying and all the tongues and all the groaning, they will release power, but it will not be sufficient. That's why I said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, so if I don't have love, he said, it profits me nothing. Or let's paraphrase it, it will not be sufficient. Is it clear? As you're going to 2019, you are going to operate. Everybody say, I'm going to operate by mercy and grace through faith. Notice the what we are trying to get is not faith, it's mercy and grace. Faith is just the avenue. Remember, how did you get born again? You got born again by grace through faith. You didn't get born again by faith through grace. You got born again by grace through faith. Faith was the avenue, but grace was the substance. I don't know. God have mercy on us. Am I talking to anybody here? It's by grace through faith. Then in Colossians chapter 2 verse 6, the Bible says, you know, as you have therefore received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. So in other words, since I received it by grace through faith, I must walk in it by grace through faith. And Paul tells us this same thing in Romans chapter 4 verse 16. I shared that in recent times. You know, he says it was by grace. So that it was by faith. So that it might be by grace. So that the promise can be sure to all the seed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm one of the seed. So it is sure. It is sure. I can keep the commandments of God. I can do these things. All these things pastor is going to tell us now. Say, I can do it. I didn't hear you. Say, all the things pastor is going to tell us now. All these instructions. I'm going to do it. I, yet not I, but the mercy and the grace of God, which will be with me through my faith. So I'm not going to be passive. I'm going to say, I'm going to talk, both in understanding as well as in tongues and groanings. Then I'm going to believe. I'm going to see the invisible. Then I'm going to act. Those are the three things of faith. When I do that, I'm operating in faith. See, if I act and I don't talk and I don't believe, I'm not operating in faith. Many Christians try and act, but there is no speaking in faith. There is no seeing the invisible. So there's no faith. Faith involves those three things. You've got to speak. Then you've got to see the reality of what you speak. That is a reality. You're seeing the invisible. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How can I see what I cannot see? It's by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So what do I see? I see the blood of Jesus being sprinkled on my heart. I see the life of God coming to me when I say, in Jesus' name I have life. I see the power of God come to me when I say, Lord, have mercy on me. When I'm praying in tongues, I see the power of God coming out of my mouth. I see the angels of God. I don't see them physically, but I see them taking that power and walking in my circumstances, causing all things to work together for my good. So when I'm praying, I'm not just, when will they finish? Look at the light. Look at the cockroach. Pastor Olubi's mouth is too sweet. I want to go home. Dodo is waiting for me. Today is watch night service. Praise God. Tomorrow is good. Hello. I just got somebody's number. I read your mail. That's not what should be going on in your heart when you're praying. You should be seeing the invisible. Now, three instructions and I close. Number one, there are things we've done before, but I'm just going to go through them, you know, because this is a prophetic teaching ministry. Now, let me tell you something. You know, Jesus' ministry, Jesus was called, he was called many things. He was actually an apostle, but they never used that expression for him. It was later on Paul writing Hebrews, called him the apostle of our profession. But what he was actually called in his ministry was a rabbi and prophet. Rabbi just means teacher. And then he was also called a prophet, the prophet of Nazareth. You know, this prophetic teaching, this kind of thing I'm giving you, was exactly the way the Lord Jesus operated. He always taught prophetically. He would be teaching about things that are going to happen in 50 years' time or 20 years' time, and he'd be telling them today. When he taught about eat my flesh and drink my blood, they were going to eat his flesh and drink his blood that day. Hello? He was teaching prophetically. And those who believed it and practiced it now prospered in it after the day of Pentecost. So it's similar. So, you know, I'm teaching you prophetically. Some things we're already practicing. You could keep practicing them. And the prosperity of that practice, or the result of that, we are going to see it in the days ahead. Okay, number one. Daily put on the whole armor of God. It's not weekly. Is daily, and it's not half the armor, it's the whole armor. You find all the details in our book, you know, Keeping Yourself in the Love of God. I'm not going to go into the details. Daily put on by grace and mercy through faith. Daily put on the whole armor of God. Thank God for the platform, Good Morning Jesus. Good Morning Jesus helps you to do two things, or three. One, helps you get up early in the morning. That's one of the disciplines of Christ. Christ get up a great while before day. And if you're not in Good Morning Jesus, sign on now. You can sign on. They'll give you the information on the screen. You know, sign on now. Even if you sleep when you first start, don't worry. God wants to see the heart. God wants to see the practice. As you practice and all that, you're going to get mercy and grace. And it's going to get better and better and better and better. Are you listening to me? So that's one of the first things you get. In the Good Morning Jesus, they do all of these things. But they do it in a short form, you know, because they're doing a lot of prayers together. They will do the armor of God. They will do, you know, the life of God. They will pray in the tongues. They will make prophetic declarations. All of that is important. The other thing you gain there is the corporate anointing. One puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. So you partake of the corporate anointing. Then after Good Morning Jesus, that's your prayers haven't ended. It's a booster. Put on the whole armor of God yourself personally. It won't take you another 10, 15 minutes. Put it on personally. In addition to what you've done corporately. Number two. Pray once every 6 hours after that. See, Good Morning Jesus is not an end. It's a beginning. It's a booster. An essential one. A corporate cyber room that enables us and gives us the strength, the spiritual strength, the spiritual discipline to do what we should be doing. So you want to start once every, I didn't write it to, it's God It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I preached this on Christmas Day. I'm not going to repeat it. You find Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it's in verse 7, but it begins with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This is the great commandment of the law. It's a talk of them when you lie down, when you wake up, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. It's four times, which every 6 hours, and at every opportunity as led by the Spirit. Sometimes you're in the office, you're in a meeting, you know, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just prompts you, you need to pray. So just say, "Please, excuse me, I need to use the bathroom." Nobody could stop you from doing that. I went to ease myself spiritually. So you go to the bathroom, you ease yourself, and you also pray. "Father, I confess my sins. You know, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, I receive your blood, your life, your power." Just pray in tongues. Maybe for a minute or two, then you go back to the meeting. It's easy. Remember, it's sure to all the seed. It's by grace and mercy through faith. Is this clear? Once every 6 hours. This is daily. You mustn't miss these ones. It is daily. The armor of God, praying once every 6 hours and at every opportunity, and then in every temptation. See, once every 6 hours and every opportunity is there, when temptations come, and they will come, the spiritual wisdom, the spiritual power to overcome the temptation will rise inside your heart. Because you know what? It's been stored there. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee." But if you don't hide it there, if it has not been deposited, it will not come up when the temptation comes. Is it clear? So you will be able to overcome the temptations, you know, when they come. And in this regard, you know, it says the king that sits, he says, scatters all evil with his eyes. It's not these two eyes. He's talking the mind. If the life and the power of God is coming out of your heart in sufficient measure and sufficient force, just like this water cannon that they used to stop riots instead of using guns, and you see the water cannon, you hit a man and you will throw him down because of the force with which and the volume with which the water is coming out. The life of God is referred to as water. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, which is coming out of your heart. You know what? When evil is coming from to your mind, you scatter it. It will bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Watch this. Everybody say, "I will capture every thought and crucify every lust." Oh, say it properly. Say, "I will capture every thought and I will crucify every lust." Say it again. "I will capture every thought." You say, bringing into captivity every thought. Everybody say, "I will capture every thought and I will crucify every lust." In every temptation, there will be enough power to capture the thought and crucify the lust. Hallelujah. And as that is being done, you know, this life of God has walked inside. It will make you love righteousness and hate iniquity. He says, "Thou hast love." You know, some people resist righteousness, but they resist iniquity, but they still love it. But they're running away from it. But inside, they still like it. But because they love God and they don't want to sin against God, so they're running away from it. But there's still a love for it. But a time can come in your life where you don't even love the iniquity again. You love righteousness and you hate iniquity. It's a great prayer to pray for yourself. When you just even in your heart, just say, "Lord, help me love righteousness and hate iniquity." Then the Bible also says, and this is in Psalm 16. The scripture mommy has been sharing about pleasantness. You know, the lines are saying, he's talking about our inheritance as Christians. And at the end, towards the end of it, he says, he says, "In thy presence there's fullness of joy." And you know, when you're walking with God like this, once every 6 hours, praying, put on the whole armor, praying a lot in the Spirit, you carry the presence of God. So the presence of God, you find what? Fullness of joy, fullness of, and pleasures forevermore. That spiritual pleasure is now superior to the pleasures of sin. So you have a better substitute. So sin is no longer attractive. Sin is no longer attractive. You don't even have any liking for sin again. You got something far superior. The presence of God. In his presence, there's what? Fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. Last instruction as I close. Then once in a week, because people go to work and all of that, those of us who are full-time ministers, it's possible. But for those who are not, you know, at least once in a week, make sure you fill your heart with the life of God using the life scriptures. Then pray for yourself with tongues, groaning, and travail that Christ be formed in you. These instructions can be done by faith, through mercy, by mercy and grace, through faith, It is sure to all to see. There is nobody who cannot do what I've just said. Everybody can put on the whole armor of God daily. Everybody can pray once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. And by this in every temptation with their thoughts and actions, like I've mentioned. And everybody can pray for themselves 1 hour in spirit a week, minimum. Sometimes you can add more if you have more time. You know, depending on all your, you know, your circumstances and everything. As you do this, in 2019, you're going to do the completion of God's government in your life. And all other things will be added unto you. Let us bow. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Mommy's going to share a few things with us.
Praise the Lord. Pastor has spoken from the throne room. And I just come to, by His grace, I've just come to add a few words that I believe the Lord is also saying. The Bible says, let a prophet speak, one, let another one. So, 2, 3 prophets to hear the full counsel of the Almighty. Amen. Truly, all the things we have heard today is from the throne room. And Pastor said something that it passes from Jesus to Paul. And if you want to, you know, if you want, you have to go through that way. And, you know, it's just amazing because he said exactly the same thing that God was dropping in my heart. And I'm going to talk about it. Many of us heard earlier, by the grace of God, when I was, and thank you so much for allowing me to go to England to be with Aitunu and Tosi and the grandson. Thank you so much. Thank you. Because you, it was because you allowed me that I was able to go. I mean, you gave us peace. You gave us room. If there was no peace and no room, I couldn't have had enough peace to be able to do all that I have to do. So praise the Lord. Now, we were talking about Rehoboth. The Lord has given us room. But I'm going to talk about that later. Because there are certain things, steps that the Lord is giving me and certain landmarks that the Lord wants me to share. But today, from what Pastor has said, I just want to pick a few things that I want to talk about. And the first thing I want to look at is Genesis 15. What do we see? Genesis 15. Can you give me Genesis 15, verse 1? Starting from verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. This was God coming to Abraham and speaking to him, giving him a word of promise. Now see the second thing, the second verse. And Abraham said, Lord God. So he realized it was God that was speaking to him. He was not in contest about who was speaking to him. But see what happened. He said, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Seeing, he was seeing the wrong thing. Seeing, I go childless, and the steward of my house Is this Eliezer of Damascus? Go back to one. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in the vision and says, fear not. Don't worry, Abraham. Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Go back to two. And Abraham said, Lord God, what? But he didn't believe. Said, Lord God, what will thou give him? See, what are you seeing? 2019 is going to be a very, very crucial year. Absolutely crucial year. Because it is a preparatory year. It's a preparatory year. A preparatory year for a decade. It's a transition preparatory year for a decade. And what we do this year or do not do is going to determine the next 10 years. And God has shown me by the grace of God that 2020 is a double witness. 2020. A double witness of commandment. Double witness of commandment. The Bible says, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So it's like a preparatory year where what kind of seed are you sowing? What kind of ground are you sowing this seed into? How are you cultivating the ground? How are you nurturing the seed? How are you watering the seed? Because the harvest of that seed will determine your next 10 years. The next decade into 2030. How do I know? Because we've just passed one decade. And I remember I was just going to be 50. And I said something, I do not want a 50th birthday, if you remember. I said, all I want is just a Thanksgiving. And Papa Ralph came with coronation of Esther. The feast of Esther. And brethren, 10 years, just extrapolate that 50 to see how many things have happened. It's important that we sow the right seed now. Now let's quickly go. I hope I'll be able to. If I can't, I'll just drop some things and run with it. Three. And Abraham said, behold, to me, thou hast given no seed. Just complain. The Lord said, I'm your exceeding great reward. And he said, to me, thou hast given no seed. And no one born in my house is my heir. Four. How many of us are saying, God, you said you are my exceeding great reward. He says you are my Jehovah Jireh. You say you are my Jehovah. See, all these years. See, I'm just in the same place. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Five. Thank God for his mercies. Thank God for his. He's so gentle. He's so merciful. He's so kind. If it was one of us, we would have gotten angry and said, what kind of faithless man is this? And see, Jebi, I just told you I was your exceeding grace. And I told you, fear not. And he brought him forth. Now see again. And he brought him forth. Please come, Pastor Tony. And he brought him forth. This 2019, God has to bring us forth. I don't know what you're looking at. If you are looking at lying vanities, if you are looking at lying apparitions, you're looking at deficits, you are having burden baggages and garbages, you must come forth. And say, he called him, said, come forth. There's a reason I called her forth. And said, you are seeing this, but I want you to do something. Look! Look! Change what you are seeing. Change what you are seeing. Because what you are seeing is determining what you are getting. Jeremiah, what do you see? What seest thou? Says, I see the rod of the almond. Says, you have seen well. He will hasten to perform. What you see determines what you get. Brethren, it's a very serious thing, but it is true. And he said, look now towards heaven. Stop looking at this. Stop looking at this womb. Stop looking at these groins. Stop looking at the groins and stop looking at Sarah's womb. Change what you see. Stop looking at that empty house, having only an Eliezer as a servant. Change what you see. Look up. Look up toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. And he said unto him, if you cannot number the stars, then you cannot number your seed. Last verse I'm looking at today. 6. Now he changed. He changed. He changed seeing the womb of Sarah. He's changed, seen the dead groins. He saw the empty house with Eliezer alone there. He began to look up and to believe. And he counted to him for righteousness. What are you saying? What am I saying? See, the devil kills us with what we see. Yes. I've been there. Some things happened last year. It was very serious. And the devil will come to me in the middle of the night and saying to me, prophetess of God. Laugh at me. If you truly, your husband was so man who waits morning, night, evening before the Lord all the time. And this, how powerful is your ministry or your calling? You better just give up. It's not going to happen. See, people know. They don't even trust your ministry. And I said, no. Sit down. Even if he's going to slay me, I will serve him. And then he called us to a fast. And the devil said, are you going to go and call people to a fast? You have not sorted that problem. You are going to call a fast. You know what? When we're calling that fast, you remember me saying, and God's people shall never be ashamed. And God's people shall never be ashamed. I was speaking to the devil. I was speaking to myself. I was declaring it in the heavens. And to the glory of God. There was a reversal of odds. And the Lord had the last laugh. What do you see? Now let me just quickly, please pardon me. Praise the Lord. And then we go to, I want to go to Genesis 26. That was the father Abraham. Now I want to look at the son Isaac. This was the promise to the father. There was an existence of a promise. Brethren, the first one is, what do you see? The second one is, remove not the landmark of the father. Remove not the landmark of the father. You see, when you're where God tells you to be, even if it is just being a grandma, taking care of a little baby, not sleeping sometimes 72 hours, because my duty was watch night duties, so that the children can enjoy in the day. And then they can walk in the day, enjoy their baby in the day, and sleep at night so I can walk. God will meet you there. Because he sent me. I was not doing it because that is how people do it. I did it till the very last minute when he said, it is time now to go. I said, okay. Because remember, we are your pastors. Whatever happens to us, happens to you. When we are blessed, you are blessed. When the baby came, you were all blessed. You couldn't even sit down. When the news came, your hands were all because you had been waiting for the news. And because God did it for us, you are assured that God will always do it for you as well. So it was important that God opened that door so that your faith can be enlarged. Now see, let's see Genesis 26. Quickly give me, because I'm running against time. Genesis 26. And I'm looking at verse 17. I hope I'll be able to finish this. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days. Everybody say it. In the days of Abraham, his father. He did not try to reinvent the wheel. He was doing exactly the same thing that his father did. Now let's go. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Do you know something, brethren? This is the word of the Lord. We must not forget the landmark of our fathers. And we must not try to reinvent the wheel. Jesus said, as I hear, I speak. And my judgment is just because I do not speak my own will. He was speaking what the father was telling him. Just like even though his father was dead and the Philistines had taken over the wells, when he took over the wells, he did not have ideas to name other names. Why did he then give? Because he knew the principle. this thing I'm telling you, this end time is so critical. Young people, old people, everybody, it is critical. This sometimes will be the saving grace between life and death. Between barrenness and fruitfulness. Because one other person will be on that same ground. And all he's doing is obeying the landmark of the fathers. And he's being fruitful. The other person will be on the same land. And he will say, what is wrong with this land? This land is barren. But the reason it's barren is because he's not obeying the principles of the landmark of the fathers.
Buttressing what mommy said, I said, just like Paul got God's revelation through Jesus Christ, Kenneth Hagin, Jesus got it through the same way Paul got it. We got it doing exactly the same thing Kenneth Hagin did. If you want this thing, you have to follow the landmarks of the Father. You can't pray your own prayer. You must pray the same Pauline prayer. Don't go and dig your own well. The well has already been dug. Is that well is the well of life. There is no other one.
And look quickly at this prayer that we always pray every morning in Good Morning Jesus. By the way, we're having a Good Morning Jesus worship service today at 5. Amen. And we'll be praying and entering into the presence of God with thanksgiving and rejoicing. Don't bother how it's going to happen. By the grace of God, it will happen. Amen. And Psalm 16, verse 6, let me go to 5. He says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. He maintaineth my Lord. The lines in 6 have fallen upon me in pleasant places. Why? Because I have a goodly heritage. Why was he always getting water in the well? Because he had the goodly heritage of Abraham. Let us continue. Give me Psalm 26 again. So Genesis 26 again, please. Verse 18, Genesis 16. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which he had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Those same names. Next verse. And Isaac's servants digged in the well and found there a well of springing water. Every time they dug in the well that Abraham dug, it sprung water. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Let me tell you something. When you dig in the landmark of your fathers, you are putting God on the spot. Because he's the father of fathers. He's the God of fathers of fathers. And God will protect his namesake. Because obedience is the currency in heaven. Now look at it again. 20. And the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. He did not fight. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Now listen again. They went away. Next verse. So you can see that what I said about every time you died, you dog in the well of the fathers, it springs well of life. And they dig another well. Isn't that the second one? And they dig another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. That was the second time. But he brought the well of life. Now let's go to the third. And he removed from thence. He did not strive. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Hey, hey. This is very important. The servant of the Lord must not strive. He left it for them. Just like Abraham left it for Lot. Abraham left it for Lot. Lot should have left it for Abraham. Did Abraham not know how to look? Always allow God to be the one to tell you to look. Lot lifted his own eyes and looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was then it looked like the garden of the Lord. It seemed it was a lying apparition. But the Lord shortly spoke to Abraham after he had departed. He said, Abraham, now lift up your own head. And he said, this plus all that Lot took, I give it to you. And he removed from thence. I don't know whether I'm blessing anybody tonight. Should I quickly round up and go over? Thank you for allowing me. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. Because God, see, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. I'll take you to the 2 Chronicles 20. This battle. See, when you dig in the well of the fathers, as long as the fathers are covering you, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's, because you have put God on the spot. And he called, honor your father and your mother, he'll be well with you. And you live long in the land of the living. The first commandment with the blessing is still existing till today. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it what? Rehoboth. What does that mean? And he said, for now, everybody say for now. For now. For now. For now. I made room for myself. The Lord had made room for us. And everywhere the Lord makes room for you, you will be fruitful. Hallelujah! When the Lord makes room for you, for us, we shall be fruitful. Now, go to the next verse. And they said, and they now went up thence. And he went up from thence to be. He from there, he went what? Up! Upgrade. Whoa! From there, he went up. And that was when he began to inherit the inheritance of his father. Look at the next line. And God appeared unto him. Not before. That same night. Not before. The Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. Exactly the same word he said in Genesis 50. Fear not. I am with thee. And I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant. For my servant. The blessing of the Father. Not for what you have done. Reboshete koshata. I know some children are doing like this. Yes. Do like that. It's the truth. Hey, shakoto, bo, shete. Hey, I know my children are doing like this. Hey, mommy has given them authority. It is their authority. It's the truth. And it is becoming so true now. You know, I'm a prophetess. And I will tell you why you have to believe me now. Because I'm going to 2 Chronicles 20 to show you. And multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Everybody say, my father. Abraham. Say, hallelujah. Remove not the landmarks of the fathers. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. Let me start with 15. Jahaziel prophesied. 2 Chronicles from verse 14. Give me 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Matani, a Levite of the sons of Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Eri, o konsoba omotogeni. Lineage is important. Heritage is important. Some of our children are just entering into lines, falling upon them, left, right, and center. And they think it is for their own sake. They think it's their intelligence that has gotten them this way. They think it is their knowledge, or their fame, or their beauty that has... I've got a story to tell you. The lines have fallen upon you in pleasant places because you have a goodly heritage. Why will he tell you the story of who Jahaziel is? The son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeriah, the son of Matana, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation of the people. This is generational blessing. Generational lineage. I want to tell you something. There is no dryness. There's no barrenness. There's no unfruitfulness for anyone that is connected with the correct lineage. Now in the second verse. I didn't know, honey, this was what I was going to say. It was while I was sitting there. The Lord gave me this message. And he said, hearken ye all Judah. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it is of God. Now move on quickly, but God, tomorrow go ye down against them, behold they come up at the cliff of Cis, they shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. If you are, my dear, my sons, my daughters, my mothers, my fathers, but my our spiritual lineage, if you are standing in the lineage of your fathers, you will not need to fight in this battle. All you need to do is to set yourself. Align yourselves. Set yourselves. I've seen situations before where something was happening to someone that was close to us. And she and her fire husband had pushed and pushed. They couldn't push. I said, brethren, they can't do it. We have to do. We have to do it for them. We got into intercession. Things began to set. That is why, even with Good Morning Jesus, the corporate anointing, you set yourself, getting up early to come and pray, is setting yourself. And see the salvation of the Lord. With you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Go on to the next verse. And Jehoshaphat, what did he do? He accepted. He did not say, who is I'm the king? Tani Jehaziah. Who is this one? I, Jehoshaphat, am the king. He did not say that. The Bible says he bowed his head. He submitted himself. And he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord worshiping the Lord. Let me just quickly go now. Oh, Shatebosate. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of children of Korah stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants. Hear me, O scripture pasture. Hear me, O generation. 2019 generation. 2020 generation. Hear me, the millennials. I speak to the heavens. Hear ye me, the millennials. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper." Now let's quickly look at Proverbs. Proverbs 22:28. I'm almost finishing. Proverbs 22:28. What did it say? "Remove not the ancient landmark which the fathers have set." Proverbs 23:10. And no, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Go to the next verse. Mashoto, I saw something. "Remove not the ancient landmark. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." That means if you do not remove the ancient landmarks, you seek ye first the kingdom of God, prosperity shall be your portion. You will stand before kings and not mean men. It is guaranteed in the lineage of the fathers. The last verse, Proverbs 23:10. "Remove not the old landmark." Everybody say, "Remove not the old landmark." "And enter not into the field of the fatherless." The Lord will have mercy upon us. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, darling. Hallelujah. I want you to hold on to two things, and we're going to prayer. Number one, 2019 is a year of preparation for the next decade. What you complete, what you something, that government is what's going to take you into that next decade and beyond, and all the other things God wants to your life. It's a crucial year. And it's also crucial for our nation, Nigeria. 2019 is a defining year for Nigeria. It's a defining year. Then number two, don't remove the landmark of the fathers. Don't try and do your own thing. See, we are not doing our own thing. I was sharing with somebody recently. I said, all these things, it's not Olubi Johnson. It's not me. I'm only copying what the fathers did. The reason why we are where we are today is because we did what the fathers did. Don't start digging strange wells. And one thing I've seen in this generation is that so people try and do their own thing. Why will I go and look for another prayer when I have the Pauline prayer? Why will I try and pray in a different way when the fathers have told us we pray 1 hour in the spirit every day with groanings and travail? Now I want to go and start inventing my own kind of prayer. And it is when Isaac digged the wells of his father, then he came to a place of Rehoboth. In 2019, God is going to make room for you. 2020 and beyond, God is going to make room for you. Make the link between 2019 and 2020. Stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Welcome him into 2019.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
glory is coming. Holy fire. As we lay aside, hallelujah.
We lay aside all earthly desire.
Hands reach out. Glory to God.
On
our hearts. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. We welcome you.
Start again from the beginning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Lord, we welcome you.
Holy.
Sing it to him as a person.
With holy fire,
as we lay aside,
we lay aside all earthly desire.
Hands reach out,
and our hearts,
Holy Spirit.
Glory to God.
The wind of your presence blow,
that your people hear.
Your people hear my truly know.
How? Glory to God.
How
to move
in the Spirit.
God.
Some new work of love and grace we pray
unreservedly.
Your way,
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Glory to God.
Holy Spirit. Oh Lord.
Accomplish in me this year.
Accomplish in me this year.
Some
new work of love and grace.
I pray unreservedly this year, Lord.
Deadly have
your way.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you. Make it personal.
I welcome you.
You may be seated in this atmosphere.